on such a wonderful topic this morning. Romans. We're in Romans chapter 9. This is one of those deals that I wanted to say, yeah, let's just read over this and go on to the next fun section. Romans chapter 9. No, don't do that. Go to Romans 13. It'd be a lot better. We're in Acts chapter 9 this morning. Okay, I'm still in Sunday school. Romans 13. Let's go there. We could go in Romans 9 again, but it might even be more fun. Romans 13. What I wanted to do today was start in verse 6 is where we are, and go all the way to the end of the chapter. Yeah, you guys know a lot better than that, don't you? Anyway, it's not going to happen. We're going to read verse 6 and 7, and that will be as far as we get today. I didn't put that down over here, but that's as far as we're going to get. Romans chapter 13, verses 6 and 7. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Let's open in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for the gift of your grace. Lord, for the fact that we don't rely on anything here or anyone here, Lord God, for our salvation, for our eternal life, for our true life, for our spiritual nature. Lord God, we rely on you and we trust you. And because of that, we can put our whole future, our whole life in your hands. And we can be at peace with that. Lord God, thank you so much for being a great God and a gracious God who loves us more than we'll ever understand. Thank you, Father, for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. We've come to this place in Romans. As we've gone through Romans, we have seen that Paul, the writer of Romans, has written about justification by faith alone. And he explained that in the first 11 chapters exhaustively. Let's go with that. He went over it and over it and over it in the first 11 chapters. He showed us how we're condemned. Without Christ, we stand condemned. In chapter 4, he showed us the faith of Abraham and how we can have that faith. In chapter 5, how the world is justified. And because the world is justified, all there is to accept that word lambano, to accept what God has given in his Son, Jesus Christ. And then we got to chapter 6, and he asked the question, so what do we do with sin? Should we just continue in it? Should we just play with it? No, it's not part of us anymore. Meganoita, it's not even part of us. And he gives an illustration in chapter 7 of living in sin and how you come to the point as a Christian, you say, I don't do what I do want to do. I do what I don't want to do. Who can save me from this body of death? And thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then in chapter 8, there is no condemnation. Because of that, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So we have our security built in chapter 8. He goes on to chapter 9 through 11. He gives the concept of the Jews saying, wait, that's not fair. You, God, was working with us, and how can he switch and change? And Paul goes on to show the truth, even in the Old Testament, of how God had prophesied, how the prophets had prophesied that all of this would come about. That Jesus would come, that he would die, that he needed to die for us. And then he closes out that section in chapter 11. He closes out that first 11 chapters with just an epiphany of praise. He bursts forth in praise. We see that at the very end of the chapter of 11. So he has developed our identity. He has spent all of that time saying, this is who you are in Christ. This is what Christ has done and how important it is to believe, to trust, pisteo, believe, but also to lambano, to accept, to grab hold of, take hold of that truth. So he has developed our identity that we are in Christ, that he is in us. And then he starts chapter 12. He says, okay, because of that, because of the mercy of God, because of all that he has done and who he has made you, present your body a living sacrifice. He goes on and says, okay, now let's look at the traits that naturally follow who you are in Christ. This is how your life will be lived out in Christ. This is who you are. This is your identity lived out. And he goes on and starts explaining that in chapter 12. We see that how he gives the gifts. He gives gifts for the growth of the church. We see how those traits relate to God, the traits that he gives us in our new heart. We are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Those traits and how we relate to God and how we relate to other Christians, and then how we relate to our attitudes and actions towards even enemies, even those who persecute us. And then last week, what we started in chapter 13, we go on and see how those attitudes and actions, how those traits that God gives us are towards the government. We looked at that last week. And then we go on and talk about the most popular subject today in verse 6, because we're going to be looking at taxes. And it's so much fun because I got to researching all about the tax system here in the United States. And you know, there is, according to estimates, there's approximately $97 billion, I believe it is, that the government estimates that people do not claim. In other words, tax evasion. So that's one of the most popular crimes there is, I think. But it's so prevalent, even here. But it was very prevalent in this day also. Paul needed to address it because part of this shows whose we are. Okay? Remember the context of what's going on here. Remember, he has already given us our identity. He has nailed down who we are in Christ. And then he has shown us how our new identity has certain traits to it. What God builds in us, loving the brethren, loving our enemies, how we relate to those who around us, Christians or non-Christians, and how we relate to the government in submission to the government. And he goes, and remember, he's talking to people who were under Roman rule, all right? So as we get into this, remember that where we are and what he's talking about here. What we're going to look at today is the attitude and actions towards taxes, motivation of obedience. Look in verse 6. For because of this, when he says because of this, we have to look back and see what he's talking about. He's talking about our attitudes and our actions toward the government, toward the government system, and why the government was put in place to punish the evil, to reward the good. It's their purpose. Has the government gone beyond that? Yes. And I don't know of any government that hasn't ever gone beyond those parameters. But we submit to the government not only because they have the power to punish, but also because of our conscience. Look back in verse 5. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. And the word conscience sake literally means having a knowledge of something. Because we have a knowledge that this government institution is ordained of God, instituted of God. In other words, it is under. Remember the word under, hupa? That is under God. So every government system is under God's authority, whether they recognize that or not. They're under God's authority, and we can trust our Father. So therefore, we submit. So go on to verse 6. Because of that attitude and action towards government authority, you also pay taxes. You also pay taxes. Now, the word taxes is interesting. There's two words. One of them is taxes. The other is customs. And we'll see that in the next verse. So I'll explain customs in the next verse. But the word taxes here was a drawing of money. It was to pay money. But it was often used, not exclusively, but often it was used to pay governments who came in and took over your government. Okay? So what he's specifically referring to here is paying taxes to Rome. because Rome had come in and taken over Israel. Babylon came in and took over, and then the Medo-Persian, and then you go on through the Greece and all of that, and you finally get to Rome, and Rome takes over. So Rome wanted a tax on the people. They would tax the land and the substance of the people. And then especially of the people that they defeated. And then they would set up collectors, which is why tax collectors were hated. They would set them up to go and to get the money, and they would be backed by Roman guards. They could go and they could charge whatever they desired. They had to pay Rome this much money, but they could go and collect whatever they wanted. Whatever they got over the top was theirs. So that's why tax collectors were hated. Most of the time they were cheats. They were rich. They were always the ones with the money. But that's why Zacchaeus, when he turned, he said, "I'll pay back four times the amount of whatever I've stolen." All right, so he was one of them. But taxes have never been a fun exercise, have they? You ever just sit down to write out your taxes and say, "Oh, this is so cool. I just love doing this." All right? I've never had that euphoric experience before. I used to, okay? Because I got money back. Don't do that anymore. So I don't have that euphoric experience, right? Taxes is one of those things we look at and we say, "Well, is this right or is this wrong?" Okay, so Paul addresses it. Paul knew that. This is an example of submission to the government that he's talking about, right? And the taxes specifically that he's talking about here are for a government that came in and took over your government and is charging you an excess tax from what you would normally be charged. Because the word custom, what we'll find out is that's the local tax, the civil tax, the temple tax, all right? So what he's talking about is something that the people would have considered very unjust, very harsh, very wrong. And yet he says here, because of that attitude of submission, you also pay taxes. For or because rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Now, if we could look at that and say, you know what? All of our rulers are servants of God and they are devoting themselves to God. We'd be, okay, that's not so bad then. I can write this check. It's harder to write that check when they're not. And yet, in this situation, are they? They definitely weren't saying that they were, but in truth, they are, because they are under God. They are under the ordinance of, because God has set up, remember what we talked about, God set up the ordinance of the institution of government for the punishment of evil, for the praise of what is good. God set that up. And when that varies, God will take care of that in his time. God has caused the rise and the fall of many governments. God is in charge. So, the people that are there may say, you know what, we don't have nothing to do with God. We're not gods at all. And yet they are. And God will be the judging factor in that instance. But you look at the fact, before we get into that too far, I want to ask the question, is paying tax right? How do you answer that? Is paying tax voluntary? Try not paying it this year and see what happens. All right? It's not a voluntary system. It's what the government has imposed. So, is paying tax a legitimate duty? Well, what happened with Israel? I mean, how was Israel set up? Israel set up, the temple was the sacred place, right? All through their history. And yet, it was also the governing authority, because you had the Sanhedrin, you had the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they had been part of that system. You had the priests. In the Old Testament, way back when the Pharisees, the Sadducees weren't even mentioned, God set it up so that there was a percentages of tax that were sent to the temple. There were three direct taxes and three indirect taxes. Specifically. And it all added up. You know, the indirect tax was like when you let your land set every 7 years. It all added up to, over a seven-year period, it would have been about 23 to 24% per year. So there was about 23 or 24% per year. And that was a government that was set up and instituted by God. But you say, well, maybe that was wrong. Well, look back at Joseph. Remember Joseph? Joseph, who was sold to Egypt and then became very prominent in Egypt, and the king or the Pharaoh said, hey, I want you to take care of the situation that's coming. We got 7 years coming of good, 7 years of bad. And he put Joseph in charge, and Joseph set up a system of 20% tax on everyone, 20% tax on your grain. He had to bring in all that, and he saved the nation. In fact, he made the nation a lot of money because of that. But in all of the Old Testament, there is nothing ever negative said about Joseph by God. That's why a lot of people consider him a type of Christ, because there's nothing, it's never said that Joseph sinned in this way. So whether he got that wisdom from God or what, there was a tax set up. So the taxes are legitimate. Why? Why are they legitimate? Look what it says in verse 6. For rulers are servants of God. And the word servant, fascinating, because there's two words in the New Testament for servant. One is doulos, and that means a slave. You are a slave, you belong to them. The other word servant is minister, or someone, a civil servant, to someone who serves the people. And that's the word used here. It's not the word slave. It's not saying that the governing official is God's slave. We know from Scripture that we are born into slavery, slavery to sin. And when God saves us, he makes us his own slave. We are slaves of God because we belong to him. But this word here is minister. It means serving the people. So what he's talking about here, he says in verse 6, for rulers are servants, they are ministers of God, they are under God's authority. Whether they agree with that or not, it is fact. Whether they realize it, it's a very good thing to remind our servants of. It's a very good thing to remind our leaders of, our political leaders, that hey, you're not just serving people, you're actually under God's authority. Whether they believe it or not, it's fact. Scripture says it. And God is in control. And that's why we can submit. That's why we can rest in this. But it says, let me find here. This very thing, where are we at? Verse 6. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. This very thing being their service, not being God. Not necessarily devoting themselves to God, but they're devoting themselves to their service. And in their service, they are under God. In their position, they are under God's authority, even though they don't realize it, even though they don't recognize it. The word devoting means associating themselves closely with. So there are servants of God. Look at someone obvious. North Korea. Someone who's anti-God. The leader there, totally anti-God, wants nothing to do with God. And yet he is devoting himself to the service in his country, serving as what we look at it and say, well, they're serving wrong. They're doing the wrong thing. But they are serving under God. He is serving under God, and he doesn't even realize it. God is in charge of that country. God will allow them to go until God decides it's time to change that. God is in control of that, and God can use that. Has God ever used a sinful situation to bring about his will? Did God cause that sinful situation? No. Sin did. The flesh did, but God can use that sinful situation to bring about his desire. And if he has never done that in your life, I would question whether you're alive. Because he does that. He does that in our life. And he does that in the governing situation. So, this is the whole tax system. And if you look at it, God is in control, not the government, even though they may persecute people, like in North Korea or in China or eventually here. They may persecute Christians. God is still in control. And there still needs to be a tax rendered. All right? There still will be a tax rendered as whether we should pay it or not. Rome had a tax code. Rome had a tax code that was very tough. And he is writing to people who were under that tax code. Romans tax code, there were 25% of the people were not slaves. They were the ones who were paying the total tax code. All right? They were the ones paying all of it. Because there was only a quarter of the people that weren't slaves in Rome. I think in America, what is it? Less than 50% of the people are now paying taxes. Well, this was 25% of the people, right? This was a quarter of the people. So the tax burden would have been a lot heavier. And the repercussions for not paying them would have been a lot harsher. And there was many people who were supported by the government. There was some money going to evil pagan temples. And yet he says here, you pay the taxes. Want to look at the attitude of Jesus Christ. Look in Matthew. Matthew chapter 17. Turn to Matthew 17. Because there's two examples with Christ. And it shows his heart towards all this. Matthew chapter 17. I'm going to start in verse 24. It says, when they came to Capernaum, those who collected the 2 drachma tax came to Peter and said, does your teacher not pay the 2 drachma tax? This was a tax towards the temple, right? So it would have been towards the religious system, towards the temple there. He said, yes. And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, what do you think, Simon? From whom do kings of the earth collect customs or poll tax? From their sons or from strangers? When Peter said, from strangers, Jesus said to him, then the sons are exempt. However, so that we do not offend them, there's the key, so that we do not offend them, go to the sea, throw in a hook, take the first fish that comes up. When you open its mouth, you'll find a coin. Take that and give it to them for you and me. Right? So anytime you need to collect taxes, we should go fishing. That's my philosophy. That's what I get out of that. Let's go fishing. Of course, I'll use that for anything. But Jesus here said, should we be in the sons of the kingdom? Should we be the sons of God, the true sons of God, even have to pay the taxes? Well, not really. But so as we know not offend, go and do this and let's pay it. This tax was going towards the temple that was going towards the people that would put Christ on the cross. And he knew it. He knew it, and yet he willingly gave it, all right? Because it was the obligation. Well, we'll look at the obligation part, all right? Go over to Matthew chapter 22. A few more chapters. Chapter 22. we've looked at the temple tax. Now I want to look at the tax that he would give to Rome. Matthew 22. Start at verse 15. Then the Pharisees went and plotted together how they might trap him, Jesus, in what he said. And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, teacher, we know that you're a truthful man and teach the way of God in truth and defer to no one, for you are not partial to any. Boy. Man alive. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to give a poll tax to Caesar or not? But Jesus, perceiving their malice, said, why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the poll tax. And they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, whose likeness and inscription is this? They said to him, Caesar's. And he said to them, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. And hearing this, they were amazed. And leaving him, they went away. First thing, you got the Pharisees and the Herodians working together, which is amazing. All right? The Pharisees, highly devoted to Israel, very conservative, very very nationalistic. Israel is the only way. The Herodians, Herodians, loved Rome. They loved Rome. They were Jews, but they loved Rome. They loved the fact that Rome was there. They had all of this stuff that they could do with Rome. They loved it. Rome, way to go. Pharisees hated the Herodians. But if the Pharisees went to the Roman officials and said, Jesus is committing treason, he's saying treasonous things like you shouldn't pay tax, they wouldn't have believed him. So Pharisees got together with the Herodians and said, you go, let's trap him. And you can take them, and your testimony will mean something to the Romans. So the Herodians went, and we have the story. And Jesus said, what? He said, listen, it's not a matter of... The matter is what is spiritual. He brings it again down to a spiritual... Everything Jesus did always pointed to what was spiritual was so much more than what was physical. Because what was spiritual was the heart. And what was physical was this coin. This coin that seemed to be so important. This monetary system that was so important. And yet Jesus said, you know what? That is here. It is now. It is important for this area. But there is something that is much more vital. What is much more vital is the kingdom of God. And what is spiritual. So he said, whose likeness is it? Whose inscription is it? Give it to him. Pay it. And this was to Rome, someone that Jesus should have hated, that somebody would have hated to come in and take their freedoms. But Jesus said, do it. Look at the next verse. The mandate of obedience. Look at this, verse 7. Render to all what is due them. The word render means payback or reward or cause to happen. It's our response to what is part of this material world based on the fact of God's sovereignty. Our response, he says, render, just pay it. Render to all what is due them. What is due is interesting because to all means the governing officials. As to taxes, this is the context we're in. But what is due, the word due is literally obligation, what one should. Having Christ's example, having the knowledge that we have that there is something more important than tax evasion, that there is something more vital than the money we have in our pocket and in our retirement account, that there is something so much more important than that includes what is spiritual, what is God's desire, God's heart, what is directed or what is dictated by the governing officials, even if it's unfair or misused. Should we take any... Yeah, we should take every legal advantage we have. We should take every legal deduction we can. That's what they're there for. But what is due is what the government says this much is due. And he says render what is obligated. The word render again means pay back or cause to happen. And he goes on and gives the examples. Tax, to whom tax is due. Remember tax? The word for an unjust takeover, and yet says tax to whom tax is due. But he also says custom. The word custom is to the local tax. The temple tax would have been to the temple tax. Tax to whom tax. Custom to whom custom. But you notice that Paul doesn't just leave it in the material. He does what Christ did and shoots for the heart. Look what he says. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Fear to whom fear. Respect of the office, even when there are tax issues. Even when legally challenged by the government, you still have a respect for that. And the word fear is not being afraid of, but standing in awe of. Standing in awe of that. The fact that God has sovereignly put all this together underneath of him. And he is in charge of it. Fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Honor means value or to put a price on it. To look past individuals who you may not honor or respect individually, but recognize the fact that whether it appears like this or not, the office is under God. a servant to the people under God's control. So, let's look at a practical example. What do you think the millennial kingdom will look like? The millennial kingdom, after the tribulation, God, Jesus will come. He will separate the sheep from the goats. He will set up his kingdom right on earth. And Jesus will be here in the New Jerusalem. He will be there personally, dictating taxes. You ever thought about that? Most likely there will be some kind of a tax system. But he will be there perfectly dictating what is evil, punishing what is evil, giving rewards for what is good, and he will have the perfect tax system. Whatever it is, it'll be run perfectly. Satan won't even be here. Satan will be bound to the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Satan won't even be causing a problem. And you know what? At the end of that time, Satan will be let loose and he will gather an army that is greater than the sands of the sea. How many sand chunks are in the sea? That's pretty. People will be dissatisfied even when Christ is perfectly running the government. There's never, ever going to be a perfectly run government until Christ, and even that won't satisfy people. You know what the common denominator is? Our hearts. Common denominator is we look so much to the flesh that even the paying taxes is such a burden. I had an accountant talk to me one time. He said, you know what? He said, it's a privilege to pay taxes. I almost threw a rock at him. Thought, well, what do you mean it's a privilege to pay taxes? He says, you only pay tax in our economy, in our country, you only pay taxes if you earn money. I thought, well, okay. It's a privilege for his boss. I think he told his boss that too. I'm not sure if he still works there. But I think he told his boss that. But that's one way to look at it. But it's the trait of the new life that we have. Do you realize as God's children, one of the traits is to pay taxes? Why? Because that shows our submission to the governing authorities. Why? Because we know that God's in control. Even if it's an evil government, we know God's in control. Even if it's something going on that we don't agree with, we know God's in control. And we can pay our taxes. You know why? Because everything we have right here isn't going where we're going. All of our gold, rocks in heaven, pebbles. We'll kick them in heaven. Wouldn't that be fun? Oh, look, I kicked what I just spent my whole life trying to get. We have something greater. And that's why Christ said, you know what? Whose inscription? Whose likeness? Give it to them. Because we have something greater. There's something more important. And that is the hearts of people. There's something more important. And that's why on the other instance, he says, pay that tax. Even though we shouldn't be paying it because we're children, pay that tax so as not to offend. So that others can see the obedience. So it's an act of obedience. It's a trait of our new life, knowing that he will set everything straight in his time. We don't rely on material goods that we have. We trust our Father. He is over our government. He's over every government in the world. He can rise, let them raise. He can take them down. He can do as he wills. So we know that we are in his hands. And no, it's not fun to pay taxes. I'll be the first to admit that. But it is part of who we are as God's children. We pay it. Why? To show others Jesus Christ. That's part of showing others who we are in Christ. And let him have the final say. Our mindset needs to be to trust our Father. Give the government the proper respect, the proper honor, and the proper taxes. There! We got all the way through that. That's one of those I've been looking forward so much to preaching about. But don't forget this, because next week he expands on it. As we get into this next week, he's going to expand on it and make it even more fun. All right? Because there's a debt that you should not consider yourself to have paid. Taxes isn't one of them. taxes you should have considered yourself to pay. But there's one that you should not have, and we'll look at that next week. If you've never trusted in Christ, then know this. God wants you to be his child. He wants to put these traits in you. He wants you to have your identity in Jesus Christ, and he offers it freely. If you have trusted in him, then know this. The government can demand everything you have, but they can never take your soul. The government can take all that you have because you're a Christian. You lived in another country right now, you would get a lot taken away because you're a Christian. But they can never touch your soul. God has you wrapped up in his hands. And he may allow you to lose everything you've got here. Not to make you sad, but to make you trust in him. And to make others see that you're trusting in him and glorify him. Your life can be that example. Trust your Father. Trust your Father. Let's close in prayer.